Welcome back to the We Are All Aliens podcast. Dom and I are talking about time today.
Have we got time to do that? Is there enough time on this podcast to talk about time?
I don't know. Do you have time? Do you have time to talk to me about this?
I don't know. I have to check my watch and look at the sundial. If it's there. There's so many things that we use, don't we, to monitor time. It's a human world that we place conscriptions into time. Everything is time. It's like, let's look at the watch. Let's look at this. Let's do that. What is time? Well, think about it. In our world, it's a linear line. You are born, like me, 1962. I know you can't believe that I was born in 1962 because I look far, far younger, but I was born in 1962, so all right? Okay.
All right.
And you run all the way along that line until you pass into spirit. So if I live for 80 years in 2042, that'll be me, and I'll go and get my wings and I'll be off. So that's the linear line. Now, I never think of time as a straight line. I think of time as a circle. Because if you look at time as a circle, you can actually come into it anywhere you want to. So you don't have to go backwards or forwards, you just go around that circle. And that's what's important when we think about time and the spirituality, because there is no time. We don't live for a certain amount of years, we live for a certain amount of heartbeats. Once we use our heartbeats up, then we fly off. It's about the things that we perceive to be time.
I think that's important, how we perceive time, because I definitely know that since starting this more spiritual work, time has changed. Time has stretched. You and I were talking earlier about, I have two little kids. So everyone says to me, oh, if you just have 20 minutes a day to meditate, if you just have 20 minutes a day to journal, 20 minutes a day to do my vocal exercises. And when I first started this work, I thought I don't have time to do any of that. But now I do all of that. And somehow I found the time to now meditate twice, three times a day, because time sort of stretches. And the other part of it is sort of having faith in what we have going on. And what I mean by that is, if I have three things I need to get done this afternoon, the old version of me would say, oh God, I have to cram that all in, and I would run out of time. The new version of me knows I will get them done and I'll have time. And I do. And somehow time stretches. And I would say my best example of this, do you watch sports? Are you a sports guy?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I love sport.
Okay. So if you're watching a game, what's your favorite sport to watch?
Oh, well, I watch anything, but let's just say American soccer. Football.
Okay, great. American football, because that's what I was thinking. So you're right in my head. So we're watching football and there is one team that is, let's say, one field goal ahead of the other team, and there's only 20 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
For the team that is ahead, that time is going by so slowly because they're trying to hold on to their lead. Each second is forever. And for the team that's trying to score the field goal and catch up to the leading team, that time, it flies away. It's going so fast because they're trying to catch up. So in that way, and you know this if you're rooting for a team and which side you're on, if you're the one trying to hold on to your lead, that time is slow. And if you're the side that's trying to catch up, it really feels like it's just falling through your fingers. And that is real evidence to show you that time is how it's perceived. It is perceived differently by each person in that moment, right?
Absolutely. Look at the car journey with the children in the back. Are we nearly there yet? Yeah, I mean, the driver has got no real, time just flies by because they're occupied and doing things. The children, no occupation whatsoever. They're bored. So time just goes really slowly. Wow. Yeah, it's the human condition. We actually have different perceptions of time depending on what we're doing. I mean, do you think birds have wristwatches? Yeah.
Not the ones I've seen, but it is LA. So you just never know.
Have little alarm clocks in the trees just waiting to go off.
Maybe it's a shape-shifting bird. Maybe they brought a watch with them. But no. Yeah,
or even a cuckoo clock.
But right, there you go.
But the whole thing about it is they go on instinct. They wake up, when it gets light. They don't look at the clock because they haven't got clocks. They just go on what they feel. And it's when we go on how we sense, that's when we actually start to understand what time is about.
I will tell you this about the sense. I have that skill. I don't set an alarm. I wake up around the same time every day. If you ask me what time it is during the day, I can tell you within 5 minutes what time it is.
Yeah, because your body's auto-attuned.
Our body's, it just knows. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the whole thing is our body tunes in to the clock. We're taught from a very young age to actually have a structure in our lives. And we're told to go to bed, we're told to wake up. Yeah, we're told to go to bed when we're awake and we're told to wake up when we're asleep. You know, everything is about time, isn't it? And it's just turned back to front. And so the whole thing that we're taught is that we have to rely on the clock. Everything.
I have a question for you about this. So we agree that time is a linear construct so that we can process our experiences in physical reality. And in the non-physical, there's no time. It's called spontaneous or a circle, as you've mentioned, which I think is brilliant.
Okay.
Do you believe in other lifetimes, that we're living multiple lifetimes?
Yep. Everything is consecutive. Everything comes in together concurrently.
So are we living all these different lives at the same time?
Yeah, because
am I living my life from 1920 or 1714 at the same time as I'm living my life in 3050?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the important factor, because all that you've ever been and all that you ever are is all that you are right now. And it means that you can access all that knowledge.
Ooh, I have the
because choice. You are the whole of that experience.
This is the only part that trips me up. And maybe it's the circle, it's expansion, because with every moment I live, I have a new experience. And so I can add more information to all that is, and to myself from the 1700s and to myself in the 3000s, and also source or the universe or all that is, whatever one wants to call it, God is expanding, but it sounds like expanding is a process that feels to me, it's hard for me to understand it, because to me it feels linear.
Let me put it into very simple terms, because I think that it's going to help, is that you do not know what you do not know. As soon as you're introduced to something that you didn't know yesterday, you're already creating out wider consciousness. But everything that you know is there. Just that some things will resonate, they will really, really come into you and they'll go, wow, that's really true. And other things will go, no, that's not quite right. I don't feel that.
You're helping me with this, because I've always had trouble reconciling those two ideas, which is there are no new thoughts that we attract. There's nothing new. And also we're constantly learning and growing. Okay, there's nothing new. We're constantly learning and growing. I see what you're saying, which is it all exists. It all exists.
Yeah. It's just that you're not aware of some of it.
Right.
Yeah. Your awareness. Yeah. You think of yourself like a big cake, right? And you can slice yourself up. Lots and lots of slices of where you are. And so each slice is another dimension, another existence, another part of you. You are the whole, because you come in as the whole. But you will not access the information until you're actually prepared to understand and sense that information.
I have a question.
Okay.
I get that having gone through all these dimensions in order to perceive myself as the individual, I get that as the individual. My question is more about as source. We are all part of the same one. There's the one, right? We all exist because source wants to learn more about what it is. What does it mean to be source? So it breaks itself up into bajillions of pieces to have all these experiences. So there is a constant expansion, because that's why we're here. If there was nothing to learn and nowhere to grow, no growth to be had, okay, there would be no existence.
Okay. You're muddling up source with a human existence.
Not to me. I understand that you say I'm muddling it, but that's my... what resonates for me is that source is the one. We are all part of the one, and that we are all unique expressions of source. So you're source, I'm source, the tree is source. We're all source.
Okay. Okay, let me expand it for you a little bit then, because I don't disagree with you, which is quite unusual.
And it turns out we agree, we just use very different vocabulary.
Yeah, I don't even understand what that means. Right, so the whole perception of what source is a human perception, because yes, we don't really know what it is. We just know what we think it is. So we're putting in our human perception into how we explain source
to be. Yes, everything has to be filtered through our human perception.
Fantastic. Hallelujah. You know, bring out the trumpets. So if we get to that point where we understand that we're limited by the way that we are and our knowledge, because we only know what we know, we don't know what we don't know, then we can start to understand and surrender to the fact that source is infinite. It yes, is everything.
But my question is about time. And I think that it just is unanswerable because we're both people.
Time does not exist, Jackie.
No, I know that's what I understand. That is what I'm talking about, is expansion is occurring. Otherwise there would be no existence. The curiosity of source is what keeps eternity. It goes on and on. There is no beginning, no ending. Are you with me? There's no beginning, no ending. The circle.
Circle. But did you hear the alarm clock go off? Yeah, because it's that wake up call that says we only know what we know. And until we start to access our futures in the way that we perceive them, that will increase our knowledge of what source is. How you perceive source to be right today.
Yeah.
Right this moment will alter, it will evolve, it will grow as you grow.
Yes, and, of course.
And that understanding will actually come to incorporate all that you are.
Yes.
Which is all that source is.
Yes.
And so we get the mirror effect. So it's infinite.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So there is no time. Time and space are a construct to experience physical reality. It's just the awe of saying, wow, there is no time and there's no space. It's an illusion, right? It's a part of this game. There's no time. And it's sort of just that moment of going, my mind exploding, because what that not knowing, again, you don't know what you don't know, not being able to grasp what that means.
Can I throw another bit into this? Because I was looking at something today, which was is amazing to me. And what the theory is that there's a planet X, but this planet X is on a huge loop, which is a different orbit to our sun than what we are on. It's on a 1,025 year loop as we know it, because the time that we work out is going around the sun, it's rotations around the sun,
right?
And the sun is traveling through space, and this planet X that is said that it's got intelligent life on it is on such a long loop that it will take such a long time before we actually come into a place where we can meet the people on that planet. And we didn't know this until the telescope that has just been launched has actually started to indicate that there's gravity that points to a planet being pulled in our solar system that was known back in 1890 as Planet X, which is incredible. We didn't know. And so time for us is revealing that planet.
Yes.
Now that's a shock, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in some ways, time is there for us. We live it. We live the reality of it. We watch the planets orbiting at certain speeds and certain distances. Our planet rotates 24 hours. So we watch all those things. But in reality, we are just souls. We are just energy. And our energy happens to have made a home here on this planet that rotates. And we just happen to make devices that figure out how long it takes that planet to rotate.
Yeah.
And those devices rule our lives, because we're told that everything takes 20 minutes. So it comes back. What I love is the whole purpose comes back that full circle, because everything's a circle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we can talk ourselves all the way around and we'll come back to the same place we were. And that's what time takes us to. We can talk all the way around the time, but we always come back to the same time every day.
So this conversation was perfect evidence of that circle to come back to, that everything just takes 20 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you time your life, and I recommend that you do, everything, if you look at cooking instructions on anything you put in the oven, if you think about how long it takes you to write a shopping list or even read a story to your child, everything is 20 minutes, and it's the universal law.
Do you want to make a bet? Do you want an over and under on how long this podcast was going to be? This one about time? I bet you 20 minutes. It's fun, but it's so beyond comprehension, you know, until we return to just consciousness, right?
Can you imagine just floating in the ether as an orb?
I do imagine it, because I read about people's experiences pre-birth or, you know, near death, and when suddenly they're just existing and they sense that there's no time and space, and how many lives they've lived of being moss on a tree, and they remember everything all at once. They have the experience of being a moss, being a squirrel, being a person, and just the being with, and that it's the best place to be. And then in order to separate, you've got to go through so many dimensions to perceive yourself as an individual.
And what do you think when we're everything? Because everything is incorporated in us. It comes back to what you talk about so readily, which is source.
Exactly. Well, that's what it is, right?
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And how much do we complicate what is something that is very, very simple?
That's part of the beauty of the system, though, isn't it? We have to complicate it, because then that's how we learn more about ourselves. The complication is in the inauthenticity of who we are, and is in the forgetting of who we are, and in the remembering of who we are, we expand. And in the understanding, we grow and we learn and we add more. We add more, yeah. And we raise our vibration. So you have to know who you're not to understand who you are. And the complication is when we're flailing around in the who we're not.
Yeah. And if you go back to the sports analogy, do you remember those sticker books when you were a kid? I don't know if you remember them in America, but they used to be like playing cards that you could stick into albums. And you could always guarantee that you would always have two or three that you'd never get them ever. So you'd never complete your book. So it's a bit like that in life, isn't it? Our lives are like sticker books that we collect little experiences and memories and thoughts, but we never quite complete it. We've always got number 370 that we can never get, because, you know, as soon as we get that, we're complete, aren't we?
Yeah.
So
we don't need to be here anymore. Then we return. Yeah,
but can you imagine the hallelujahs of the angels when we get that last sticker and it goes, whoa.
I think, and it's funny, because I think of that as every time we're here in the forgetting of who we are, anytime we're here and we remember, there's the hallelujahs. I think they're saying hallelujahs when we forget. All the angels are enjoying watching everything we're doing. They don't see any of it as wrong. There's no duality in the non-physical.
Can I relay a story? Because I've had this experience with this young man just recently, three-year-old child. Okay, little boy, 3 years old. He looks up at his mum and says to his mum, "I was your dad." And I bang my head and I went through a vortex and I'm here and I'm now your son, a three-year-old child.
If you read The Cosmic Cradle, it is all about pre-birth memory, when souls remember before birth. They remember as far back as, like I said, being moss, or just as far back as remembering being conceived or being born, and they can tell their parents what happened, what they were talking about, what was going on in the room, who they were before.
Life after life.
Yeah.
And do you know what the crazy thing about this is that we can repeat lifetimes. Because
that's new for me. I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you some stories about people that repeat lifetimes, even people that have actually set up situations so they realize that they're going through something they have to avoid. That's absolutely amazing.
Okay, let's get into this. This is new for me, because it does also make sense in the no time and the expansion, And when you learn something, that you can go through the experience again with new knowledge. So all I was going to say about the kid, though, was that the difference now, more so than maybe earlier on in past years. I mean, again, every time I talk about time, it feels so bizarre, but you know what I'm talking about. In the past, people were less likely to believe their children and say, you're just imagining things. And now people are more open, it seems, to believing, because if you don't cultivate those memories, you lose them. So it's important, like, for this three-year-old child to be believed so that he can hold on to these memories.
Yeah. You've got a window as a parent.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, between 3 and 7. I would even narrow that further down. I would say between 3 and 5.
I'm with you. Totally.
Yeah. That you got your child that can recall.
I keep asking my daughter if she has memories. They're not coming, but I'm hoping I want one of my children to have these memories to share. But you're saying you could repeat a lifetime.
Oh, you can repeat. And the reason I know this is because I've interviewed a few people, but one person stood out, and his name was Mike. And Mike deliberately was a driver for a living. Part of his job was to actually sell machines to offices. And he used to have to drive up and down the freeways to his different locations. And on one of these drives, he lost his life. He was actually killed.
Okay.
So he recalls that particular incident. But what is really, really shocking about Mike's story is that when he used to drive up and down the freeways, it's really boring. There's nothing going on, and it's really quite a dull drive. You know, there's nothing to look at. So he used to have an MP3 player, if you remember MP3 players.
I do.
And he used to have it on random. And all the tracks, he used to have 500 tracks on random. But there would be special tracks that he would really love. And one of those tracks was a track by Led Zeppelin. And it was I Love You. Track. It was an amazing track that he loved and loved and loved. And it would never come up, never play this track. It would never, ever play on his MP3 player. Now, one day he's driving up this motorway and this track plays. And he thinks, great, Led Zeppelin. I haven't heard that for ages and it's playing. Well, he sort of, you know, slowed down and enjoyed the song, but it repeated straight afterwards.
Oh, weird.
Random play, 500 tracks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
the odds are really, really.
And he was so taken aback by it repeating itself, he pulled over into the slower lane. And just as he pulled over, this lorry in front of him lost his girders all over the road. If he'd have stayed in that lane where he was, he would have been killed outright. And what Mike reckons is, he reckons he's pre-tuned that situation to warn him that that's going to be a life and death. And that if he wanted to continue on his life as Mike, he had to avoid hitting that lorry, because it was such a remarkable event on his MP3 player.
And I would say that it was he created it, his higher self created it, knew what they were doing. It was an inspired idea to switch lanes. And he did. And he was led, as we all are, to the destiny that he was hoping for, which was to continue his life. That's remarkable. But is this the same person that feels like he came back again?
Well, what he did was, this was his 7th time back before he actually got that double.
So you're saying that in the other times that he lived this life, he got hit and killed and he came back, and then the double track was the clue to move over and not.
Absolutely. The time loop.
Okay. And how do you confirm this? How do you find evidence that this is true? Do you see it in his aura when he's telling the story? How do you know?
Well, I can see that he's honest. I know that.
So he believes it for sure. Yes.
Absolutely. And as a past life regressive therapist, I was able to take him back. And I'm sure that he experienced going over too soon those 6 times. The 7th time he survived. And I think that what he did was, he actually followed the signs. He set the signs up and he followed the signs to make it obvious that something had to change. He couldn't predict his own passing, but what he could do is slow himself down.
Which one of Dom's philosophies. But I'm wondering, so in order to be in that exact predicament, at that exact time, that would have to mean that he lived the exact same life and everyone around him is living the exact same life to get to that moment again.
Absolutely. And not just that, it's the every lifetime.
And this is the thing that I always say that is just still blows my mind. Everything is connected. Everything is, I mean, not only is nothing random, nothing is random. Everything is connected to everything. So do you believe, that he did that? He lived that life seven times?
I think he broke the cycle on the seventh time. Yeah.
That's like a movie, you know, when the guy's coming back and coming back, waking up in the same life, living the same day over and over again until something breaks the cycle.
Yeah. I think you can make a movie of it. I think, you know, I mean, just talking to Mike, he's a very impressive man and he lives his life very spiritually without time. And he was just an ordinary guy doing an ordinary job. He's not of high intellect. He's not of low intellect. He's just a very Mr. Average. And that was what was remarkable. He had no need to come up with this story. There was nothing that he needed to prove.
Nothing to gain. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, he definitely believes it. And then what do you mean when you say he lives his life without time? I mean, if he has a 9-to-5 job, then he lives his life in time a little bit. So what does that mean for you?
Yeah, what it means is that he doesn't actually look at constraints. He doesn't think of...
He doesn't feel limited by... he does not adhere to the belief that he is limited because of time. He knows he's limitless and that there is no time.
Yeah, and if his life stops today, he'll go back and start again. And so...
A different life.
Yeah, but immortal.
Or whatever he chooses, yeah.
Because what brings us comfort as humans is knowing that our soul is eternal.
You know, did not bring me comfort for a long time. The concept of eternity, it was never death per se. I don't believe in death. I know there is no death. I mean, it's obvious at this point. Talk about you don't know what you don't know. It's hubris to think that we know everything and that this is life and this is the whole thing and this is the whole universe and then you die and you're dirt. It's insane. Sorry, not to be a judgy. That was a little judgy. My point is, of course, there's no death. It's the concept because I am in physical reality and therefore I do have limiting beliefs because I do have fears in the non-physical. I wouldn't have those constraints, wouldn't have those fears, but I have them here. So the concept of eternity was always extremely overwhelming to me and would create panic attacks. And the only way to stop those is, of course, get present because, and this is back to time, there is only ever the present moment.
Sure.
That's all you have. So you never have to live all of eternity at one time. You only can be in the present moment. But that concept really scared me for a long time.
Okay. Shall I tell you how I get past that fear? Because I think it's a phobia or a fear that we all have inside. And this is how I see it. And it's a little bit lighthearted and it's a little bit sort of understood and it's a little bit sort of moved about a bit. But I think that if there is no life after life, when we actually, you know, stop breathing, we just blink into nothingness. So who cares? Because if you close your eyes and you go back and that's the end of it, nobody's wrong because it doesn't matter, does it? Because you're just gone. If we are right, which I believe 100% that I am, you go back through a vortex, back into another body, yeah, or the same body,
or your consciousness for a time. It doesn't. There is no time, but your consciousness, you know, existing.
Exactly, and. Let's face it, if your consciousness exists as an orb, which I believe it does, because I think the soul has all the memories and everything, because that's what we live for, to fill that sticker book up with memories and experiences.
Yeah,
and
I agree with you. Yeah. It's all about creating these memories, which you can only do in physical reality.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're looking for that sticker to complete our set, you know, at that particular time. Those things matter. So we want to do as much as this as we possibly can. And the most exciting thing about living is that you are limitless. You can do all this stuff. All you've got to do is believe it. It's not rocket science. You haven't got to be Einstein. You've just got to realize that you are limitless. You can do whatever you put your mind to. And I think that we can create anything if we allow it.
I agree.
And this is what teaching.
Negative emotions just indicate to you where you're not believing you're limitless, where you believe you have limitations. So it's good to know that those negative emotions that you have are super important, because you need to know where you're constraining yourself, where you're hindering yourself, because we are limitless and we can do anything, but we can create anything from the place of neutrality, from that place of calm. If you want something and you desire something, then that's not the place to create anything. That's a place of desire born out of lack. So that's a trying to control a situation to make yourself feel a certain way. So in order to really create anything you want, you have to sort of get to a place where you really don't need anything at all. Then you can create absolutely anything you want.
So you surrender.
That's it. Yeah.
See? Simple.
Exactly.
Everything is simple. There's nothing complicated in philosophy when it comes to who we are. It's very simple. Surrender to who you are, enjoy what you think you know you do, and look for everything. Be curious, learn, fill out your book, do the things that you really want to do, and don't be afraid to fail, because that's all part of the human experience.
Yes.
And it's an amazing thing. Once you lose that fear, then you surrender to life, and life just goes whoosh, and it just takes over. And it's an amazing experience. You're not limited.
That's right. And the more you do that, the more you build confidence, knowing that there's really nothing to fear. Because at the end of the day, you just pop back into another life anyway. Anything you do fear is an illusion. You can't lose anyone. We're all eternally connected. You can't lose anything. Anything that's ever been with you is with you for all eternity, but also material things aren't real things. And time doesn't exist. And this life is just one sort of experience. But I do have a question about that. In terms of, since this is the We Are All Aliens podcast, you know, when you did past life regression, it's all been human lives. Where do you fall on the past lives or future lives as other beings in other universes, or are we only able to perceive our human existence, or animals or plants, so we can only really process those while we're human?
I think that we're all consciousness. I think that that's where we are. You know, the thought process, you know, we have 6,000 thoughts a day. Right. Crazy, isn't it? You know, I mean, 7 billion.
It's just that first thought of I am, that first thought of when your consciousness, when your source energy, and then you go through all these dimensions to perceive yourself as the individual and then realize you're having a thought on your own, my own individual thought.
Yeah, but Jackie, we are all what we want to be, because right. We create what our reality is.
I agree.
So the fact that we can think makes it the fact that everything can think. Everything is sentient. Everything is connected. We're not unique. There'll be billions of life forms out there on different planets across the universes, and there'll be millions of thoughts all bouncing around the ether out there. And we'll all be coming into and out of, and we'll be translating and doing things and learning new things, having new experiences on different planets, bumping into new things that we haven't discovered before. We never complete, but almost like, yeah, I mean, it's almost it's to a point of the infinite need to do everything. And the first thing that we must do is believe. So, and we don't believe unless we find one universal truth. And the only one universal truth that ever is and that ever will be is that love is the only thing that really matters.
Amen.
So once we find that love, once we embrace that love, then everything is possible and everything can be completed. And doesn't matter how you find it, just find it. Just be there with it because it's right next to you. When we look at our lives, 1 minute.